Radio.
Let's get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody, touch somebody.
Soft if you want to get soft with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Emotional Hangs. That's Joe DeRosa.
Hey, that's Kurt Braunohler.
Hey, just like you. Hey, just like a fucking Joey from Friends.
Is that a... Now, is that an insult or not?
I can't tell. It just came out too fast, but if I had to analyze it later, it might be an insult.
Your face has... tight skin, I just noticed.
My face has tight skin?
Yeah, I just noticed
yes.
how tight...
I mean, well, if you're trying...
it's a good thing.
Oh, really? That's a fucking... That's not an insult. That is a gift.
Yeah?
Have real tight skin. People pay a lot of money
is
to have
their... Is it a gift that it's so red and bloodshot?
Face... No. That's the alcoholism.
Oh my God! I was on a drinking break for about a week.
Oh, it's already over.
I did getting dug with high.
Oh right.
And I was like, yeah, there's no way I'm not drinking a bottle of wine before I smoke weed on camera in front of thousands of people.
Yeah.
So I that's over.
So that's over.
Yeah.
Great.
As you told me it would be when I told
you came in last week with like this puppy dog drawn fucking dopey dog like. Well, I guess drinking's gone forever. And I was like, yeah, it'll be about 6 days.
And it was 8 days.
It was 8 days.
It was exactly 8 days. And yeah. I was like, oh, Kurt's right. This is stupid. This is what my dear friend Russ Maniv, who's a comic, used to do this to me in New York. He's he lives in New York still. But I would say, I'd call him up and I'd be like, dude, I met a girl. I really like her. I think I'm going to settle down. And he'd go, yeah, DeRosa? Let's see where you're at in 3 weeks. He would do that every time. And without fail, 3 weeks later, I'd be like, I'm not into her anymore. And he's like, oh, no shit, you fucking dirtball. Anyway.
So for those of you who, this may be your first episode listening to Emotional Hangs, this is where we talk about adult friendships. We get vulnerable.
Yeah, it's about an open exchange. None of that hiding your feelings crap, putting on a face like most adults do.
And so, one, two, three.
Let's get soft.
Let's get soft with, we have some great guests today. We're very excited to have them. Randy and Jason Sklar, hello.
What's up, boys?
How are you guys?
Now, this is interesting because this is kind of the first time we've had on brothers.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've had on anybody who's known each other for more than... Then it would say 15, 20 years.
Yeah. We've known each other for about 18 years.
Yeah. And we're 43.
So you guys were separated at birth.
No.
Came back together.
We separated in high school. We've known each other. It is like a 45-year marriage. I mean, it's a deep friendship that actually, in my opinion, goes beyond friendship, which is both a good and a bad thing.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Well, I'll elaborate on that.
Well, you get so close to somebody that you take them for granted and you just, by the nature of how close you are, you just have to.
Because you almost imagine them kind of as an extension of yourself. And so in the same way that you're not always checking in to see how yourself is doing.
Right.
You're
the things you do for your friends. How are you, man? Mm-hmm. Share this with me. I feel like I'm so much nicer to... whereas interactions with, I'll talk to really close friends of mine and be like, what's going on, man? How are you? Like, what's happening? How's your wife? How's this?
Yeah.
That is like, if we were to say that to each other, it would feel weird. You know, like, whoa, it'd feel like such a step back from how close we are.
I will never forget a moment where Randy and I were on the phone and, we were talking and just, just barking stupid shit at each other. Just
did you do that? Did you take care of it?
Yes.
Take care of it and just do it.
I did.
Because I did this. You got to fucking do this.
I'll do that. And then we were just talking nonsense and just talking for a while. And then I was like, I had to go. And I was paying attention to something else. I wasn't paying attention to the phone. And I was like, all right, I love you. Bye. And then there was this weird, like
looked at my phone, like, what?
Why would you say that?
Is he dying?
What the fuck
am
is
I
he?
Dying? did you mean that for me?
Like, did you have a stroke?
Yeah, are you all right? And I was like, oh shit, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
That would be
later,
a great
bro. Later.
That'd be a great Black Mirror. That in the future, the way you find out you're dying is somebody finally says, "I love you."
And then, boom, you're done.
You look at your hand; it starts disappearing. Yeah, but it was. It's funny, and yet there is a like. It's almost like insane. In the other side of intimacy, which is like so close that you don't have to do anything. Like, you don't have to check in. You don't have to do that. You know, you can count on, I know I can count on him in so many ways. And, you know,
cause we count on each other for a lot, you know, I mean, we're part of this partnership in that we're everything we
do. You're a business together.
Yes. That's the other thing. We're business together. Actually, having our families has been a tremendous release valve for us, because in our families, we aren't the Sklar brothers. We aren't a unit. We aren't this entity. I'm like
dad. I'm dad to my kids.
Exactly. I'm a dad to my kids, my husband, my wife. And so I have a different role, and that role is massive. You know, that is every day. That is all the time. There's so much shit that goes into that whole job.
I mean, someone, a comedian who didn't have kids. I mean, you have kids that you know of. You don't have.
No, I'm about to.
You're about to.
Yeah.
So someone who didn't have kids asked me, what's it like to have kids and comedic aspirations?
Yeah.
Which, like themselves, are require a lot of
your career as a kid.
Yeah. Right.
You nurture your career in a way that you're like, okay, this needs some watering over here, and I got to figure this out and
got to pay attention to it. I can't ignore it for like a month.
Yeah.
So I said, imagine your comedic aspirations are like Harrison Ford in The Fugitive. And you're just birthing out, as you have children, a bunch of little Tommy Lee Joneses. And they are coming to hunt down your comedy dreams.
And at most points in your life, you're standing at the edge of a drain pipe about to jump 100 feet down.
You're just constantly telling people, I did not kill my wife!
Fuck both of you. Because that's the last thing I want to hear.
No,
right,
I'm joking. I'm
no,
joking.
But that's one side. The other side is it opens you up. I'll say this. Greg Fitzsimmons, who is a friend of all of ours, great comedian and great... He is great at, the most insightful dude on life. You know, he's got such a truthful view on everything. His stand up is so good at this point right now because he's just telling the truth. He's so honest. And he's like a working man's Louis, in my opinion. He just tells the fucking truth. His bit about, like, his bit about
marriage
should just be like
a car lease.
A car lease. 10 years. If you want to keep going, you keep going. It's such a great idea.
Right.
Because he's like, you're a different person 10 years after the first time you do it.
Maybe you guys have grown together.
Maybe
you want the car. You want to keep the car.
I mean, I'm on record as saying that 7 years. I think it should be 7 years.
Seven years.
Now, how does your wife feel about that when you say
that? When we got together, I did that This American Life where I said, I think it should be a 7-year agreement.
Right. Yeah.
And she wasn't having it.
Yeah, she's like, no, you're in for the long haul, buddy.
Yeah, she wasn't. Well,
he was so true.
To talk about it.
Sure, you can imagine. Yeah.
But what he said that was really cool was you have kids. They open up something inside of you that the comedy world and the entertainment industry has killed. There's something that that has trampled on inside of you, which is your ability to open yourself up and be emotional about things and allow yourself to hope for things, allow yourself to love things. Okay. So you have a project that's out there that you truly love. Your first instinct is like, don't fucking love it too much because it's probably going to get killed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or you're doing something that you love and you're like, I love doing this. Why did I say that out loud? Because it's going to get canceled.
Right.
So there is this thing of like, pull back. Don't be 100% invested emotionally in it, because when the truth is you have to be 100% invested in everything emotionally. Your kids come along and it opens something up inside of you that, again, has been down. So that's what you really have to look forward to, because it takes you into places you've never
gone to before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I will say, I know I was not trying to terrify you.
It's a funny
you.
Joke. It's
Thank
a funny
you.
Joke.
I wasn't trying to terrify you. But I do think, you know, whether you take that literally or not, yes, your focus will be divided now in a way that it never has been before. And you then start to ask yourself what's important in life.
Right.
And you realize that, like, you know, I remember we were at the University of Michigan and
that's where we went to school.
And he's saying we. This shows you how, you know, he says
Randy and I, we, not me and my wife. Randy and I were at the were at the University of Michigan. Yeah. And that's where we went to school. We went to school together. And we went to our friend's graduation. He graduated in December instead of in the spring with all of us. And they had like a high up federal, was he a federal judge? The speaker wasn't like a famous person, but it was like a guy who had done all this civil rights stuff. And he started off his speech. He just started listing all of his things that he'd accomplished in his life. Mm-hmm. More things than any of us will ever do. Like, I marched in this thing. I passed the helped this piece of legislation. Sure. I did this civil rights thing. I was part of this board. I did this thing. I did that thing. I'm like, Jesus, why is this guy being so pompous? He keeps going. He's like, most important thing I've done in my life was raise my two kids. Amazing thing to tell a bunch of graduates who are all about achievement, about what they're trying to do. That stuck with me. That has stuck with me to this day, obviously. And when I think about my children, you know, we're on such a track where we're like, we got to create these things. And in comedy, you have to be all in, or, you know, or else you won't survive. But like, the kids help take you out of that for a moment and focus on this little life that you're building and helping create and support.
Look, I say all the time that you have to have a balanced life. Now, I don't have kids, but I do have an extensive Blu-ray collection.
Well, that and, is
almost got a lot of liquor.
But, a lot of liquor. No, but I do believe in the purpose of a balanced life. And I say to people all the time, I have an extremely close relationship with my parents.
You do. You do.
Yeah, and with my extended family and with my friends from back home. And I talk to people all the time where they go, oh, Christ, like my mom wants to come visit. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, that do you realize the day will come where your mom stops calling because she's gone.
She's gone.
And you're going to sit here and like roll your eyes at this idea? So like, you need, this is an important, it all can't just be the Hollywood sign and auditions and work. It's, you have to have another thing to invest in somewhere.
It's got
to
be that dirty area of the Runyon Canyon right underneath it.
Yes.
It's got to be that.
A lot
too.
Of stuff happens there. There's a bramble over there where gay men meet each other. No, but it is true. And now, as a parent on the other side of that,
I'll say this.
Your little kids, there are things that your little kid, my kids are never going to remember. My daughter's three. I don't remember a lot of things up until I was three. I don't remember a whole lot, but like, we have moments with them that they won't even remember, but are so significant and special.
This
to
tells you.
You
what an emotional place just that it puts you in. Okay. Here's a story to illustrate it. So we did for Comedy Central during the roast battle, which love that show so much. It's like,
it's great.
You can't. I love that you can say whatever you want to the way we say whatever we want to each other.
Yeah.
And I will tell a story in a second about that and how it just it'll illustrate that. But I was standing behind the judges. We were literally on the row behind the judges because we did this thing called the post battle where we basically broke down almost like Monday Night Football after the game, sat down and broke down each battle and analyzed it, and then brought the people in and interviewed them for Sirius Comedy Central Radio. They ultimately wanted to make it a part of the show, but couldn't figure out a way to program some of the time after it. Whatever, that's too much details, but maybe it becomes part of the TV show down the road, but we did it and I loved it. It was really cool. But we had to sit and we had to watch all the battles so we could then take down the notes in our brain and then analyze it afterwards. So we're standing right behind the judges and we're a part of the show in that we judge it every month and I love it. Mm-hmm. And it's just brutal, vicious.
Yeah.
And you're laughing at the viciousness and it is like that moment where you're like, I love being a comic because you can say anything you want to this person, attack the shit out of them, and then they're laughing and then you hug each other and that's kind of what it's all about. So that's the specter that we're in. And people are going, battle. Right. It's at the House of Blues. It's so loud. It's crazy. And I was talking to the woman who was next to me, and I forgot her name. She's a comic as well. And I was telling younger woman. I think she's 30. No kids, not involved with anybody. And I was explaining to her in a break, and then it started to go back to the show. So cameras were going to be on in a second. And I'm explaining to her about this battle that happened at the Comedy Store where this kid comes up and he's in a wheelchair and he's severely deformed. You can barely understand what he's saying.
Holy
okay.
Shit.
And he battled another comedian and he's a great joke writer, really good joke writer. It takes time for him to say his jokes, but he's good. And it's almost like his crippleness is like his handicap is his strength, because if you come at him in an obvious way, no one's going to laugh at it, but he can fucking come at you so hard.
Right.
So he won this battle, and we're there, and he won it, legitimately won this battle.
Mm-hmm.
The people carried him up on stage and put the chair up and then carried him on stage. After he won, and we were judging it, and we judged that he won, the crowd went, first of all, props to Coach T, the DJ, who, as he was coming up there, played Jump Around, Jump Around, Get Out Your Seat and Jump Around.
Hilarious.
Genius. But the kid wins, and everybody
hoisted him up,
got him and
out of his chair,
hoisted him up, and it's a great moment. If you're a parent of a kid, and I have other parents that are friends of mine that whose kid, they have like an autistic kid, and I see in their eyes the long look down the road of the future of their child, that they're going to have to be involved in this kid's life, and they'll have to be involved in every aspect of his life.
And they'll probably have to create every victory that
victory will be created for this kid. I see the work that the parents have to put in.
Sure.
That moment, I'm describing this thing to this girl about that moment, how they probably would, in their wildest dreams, would have never thought that their son, who seeing him as a baby deformed in the thing and then watching him kind of grow up and probably be teased and be ostracized because of the way he is, create a moment for himself where he was victorious and hoisted above people. And I'm explaining this to her as a parent, and I start to cry. I'm crying.
And then the character, battle, and in the background, you're just tears rolling down your face.
Can we get makeup? Can we get the water off
you? It looks like you love roast battle like so much.
I'm so emotional at this because Yamanika Saunders was screaming at someone. I'm so emotional. But
that moved me, man.
It was so moving to me to think about that and that whole thing that I was like, and the fact that I don't know if I'm 30 years old, if that makes me cry. You know what I mean? She wasn't crying, but she understood. And I think she was like, oh my, holy shit, this is like really moving you to this moment.
She was standing there like, you're blowing my buzz.
Yeah, oh, wow, man. Come on. Comedy show, for Christ's sake.
Chill out, old man.
But, I
just did a bump of coke. Why am I talking to you?
I just got so bummed out after I did that coke.
Exactly. Thanks for wasting a bump of coke. No, but it puts you in that place. I mean, I think the cool thing to bring it back to this whole podcast and why we're here is that we both are going through this thing and have gone through everything in our lives at the same time. That's the difference. You know, mm-hmm. I have two. He's got a kids who are 5 years apart. That's almost like a generation. 5 years, okay? My daughters are 2 years apart, and they're actually pretty close. But we grew up in doing everything at the same time, being in the same grade.
Here's a question for you both, then. Was there ever a time in your whole life where you guys were like, you know what? We're going to just not hang out together.
We didn't think about it. That's the thing. That would have been too much thought put into it. We were just like, what do you want to do? I want to do this. So do I. I'm not even thinking about this. I want to do this.
Yeah, it wasn't a conscious decision to be together or a conscious decision to want to separate. We've always said that about this relationship of being twins, is that it's so much more nuanced than a lot of people want to give it credit for being.
Mm-hmm.
They either want to be like, we hate each other and we compete with each other, or we love each other and we can't live without each other. Like, we'll die if the other one's not there. Well, it's neither of those things. It's somewhere in the middle. And if you really want to unpack it and explore it, you're saying, here's someone who comes from the same two parents, the same socioeconomic moment, the same, grew up at the exact same moment in time in pop culture history, grew up in the same place. Mm. Like, we have so many similarities. We diverge. We have totally different elements to our personalities that are very, very different, and we crisscross, and we're exactly the same in some areas. And it's so much more about that. And we just were always like, we don't want to force it in either direction. We don't want to force ourselves to be away from each other because we don't want to be away from each other. We don't want to only do things with each other all the time that we don't have our own individual friends and our own individual experiences because we don't want to. And so it became, as we started to do that, it actually informed our comedy that we didn't want to become these like weird archetypes, like
smart, dumb, straight man, funny man. We were like, we're more like versions of each other and a single voice that diverges and comes back together again.
Yeah. So here's my, I have a question. Sure. I have a zillion questions.
Let's hear them all.
But the first one I thought of today relates mostly to this, what we're talking about now. When you were talking about earlier, taking each other for granted, when you do take the other one for granted, is it less like taking the way you take your mom for granted, for instance, or your dad for granted and go, well, I love them and I can snap at them and whatever? And is it more just like not doing something for yourself? Because you guys are identical in certain ways.
Yeah.
So when you don't do something out of courtesy for the other, is it like I've slighted this other person or I've slighted this part of myself? Like I should have treated my own body better today and eaten a salad instead of that Big Mac.
That, I mean, that's actually a really good point. I think, yeah, we do. I think it's more of we're hard on ourselves. You know how you're hard on yourself in a way that other people can't be hard on you the way you're hard on yourself.
Right.
Should have done better here. Should have done better in that audition. Should have fucking done better. Should have known my line. Should have gone in there. I got nervous in the moment. You know, you're in your car after the audition.
Yeah.
I got nervous in the moment. What the fuck? You're really mad at yourself. That level of anger. Very few people can take that out on other people. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Sure. You have to be a psychopath to be able to unleash that on another person.
Yeah.
I can do it on him in ways that are like...
And I can't do it on him.
Nah, no. It
just turns out that one of you is...
Only one of us. Yeah.
Well, one of... No, no, no. So one of... Like, we
this
play
is my
baseball.
Chance to explain the flowers in the attic life that I've lived.
This is Jay's, like, Elizabeth Smart. I'm running away from the guy that kidnapped me, mommy.
Help me.
By the way, someone approached her with a knife.
Who?
During like a speech that she was giving. Elizabeth Smart, the girl who was kidnapped in the...
Somebody approached her with a knife recently?
Yes. She was speaking at like, I want to say Indiana State University or Indiana University. I think it was Jesus Indiana or Indiana Christ. State University, and somebody approached. I'm like, hasn't this woman been through enough?
What is wrong with the world?
Why does every older man think...
Was he a knife salesman?
He could have been a Cutco guy.
He could have been a Cutco guy.
She's like, no, I'm on my way to Costco. I got to set this up.
I'm on my way to Costco to get some Cutco
knives.
But we used to play, when we played baseball, like I'd pitch and Jay'd be in center field, you know, and when we were kids,
we'd yell at each other, it made everyone so uncomfortable.
I'd be frustrated because I'm not getting the ball over for whatever reason, or I'm missing some pitches, and just I'd hear from behind me like, get it over! Come on!
What the fuck are you doing?
You know, and I'm like, I'm listening to that behind me, and I'm like, I know, you know, it's like that. And everybody was just sort of looking down and kicking the dirt because they're, you know, you play pickup basketball with us, you know, and we're like whipping the ball at each other when the other person, like, nice shot when he misses it, you know, the way you would on yourself.
Yeah, on yourself.
You know, you'd say to yourself coming back up the court when you take a stupid. We say it out loud. It gets played out to each other because in some ways, the DNA split, and it is in some ways an extension of me. Or maybe, you know, my fear is that because he looks like me, it will be perceived as me. And so therefore he has to be at the standard that I would hold myself to. It's good because it really focuses you in terms of getting excellence, but we have to be careful that we don't drive each other away.
Right.
So.
And Jay, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think we deep down, you know, this is also a function of the way our father was towards the family and his concept of family, which was you just, even if you have problems, you work it out and your family's the most important thing in the world. They're the only ones who aren't going to leave you and disappear. Like, and they treated that
even though he had a brother who he was estranged with.
Like, I think this informed his attitude.
Right.
So our dad, I mean, this is a crazy story. This is a really emotional, crazy story that we've never told, I think, outside of our family circles before. But our dad's older brother, they all grew up in St. Louis, three brothers, tight family with the parents. He was marrying some woman. He came out to L.A. and he was like...
The older brother.
Okay. Married some woman.
Who was like a low-level...
Actress.
Character actress who'd been on a couple of shows, but not a star.
A little crazy.
A lot crazy.
Okay.
And she, and so our dad, the family comes out for the wedding. They're down in Orange County visiting the younger brother, I think. Or I don't know what they're doing in Orange County, but they're coming up for the wedding in traffic. Our dad's father has a heart attack.
They're stuck in traffic on
the
405.
I thought it was on the plane.
No, it was on, or maybe it was on the plane down to the 405.
Plane ride down.
Whatever. They can't get to a hospital, I know. Whatever.
Jesus
he dies.
Christ.
Dies. Wow. Dies the day before the wedding. There's a crazy sort of Jewish religion thing that's like, you still have to have the wedding even though someone dies. It's about, you know, this is a joyful moment sometimes amidst this. But the other part of it is that you're not supposed to have music and dancing in light of this thing. All right. They probably could have worked out something that would have been a better solution.
But again, this is like the 60s, late 60s, early 70s. Yeah. Like, you can't just say to everybody, all right, change your plane tickets. Yeah. We'll pay for all that. And you just come back in 6 months and we'll do this all over again when time has passed and everybody is healed. Because you flew on a plane. Like, some people only flew like once every 5 years.
Yeah.
It's a disastrous, horrible thing that happened that, yeah, it's like the worst situation all the way around. The wife did not take kindly to it and cut off the rest of the family from them. So essentially,
Because they had to have
the
wedding?
Because they were insisting that the wedding happen and that nothing, you know, and all these people were here. They just couldn't come to an agreement over it. And so essentially our dad lost his dad and his brother in the same day. Our grandmother lost her husband and her son.
And then our dad fought very hard later in life when he had health, when the older brother had health problems and whatnot. He had a heart attack and he, you know, recovered and everything to like get him get back in his life. And he mended the relationship with him, which only our dad reached out. I mean, it was only through his work, but I think he really instilled upon it. Like, don't let this happen.
Wow.
Do not let this happen. And so like that instilled a lot in us in the way we view each other. So in our relationship is like,
and it makes the relationship, I think it gives us a chance to be hard on each other and know that it's not going to end this relationship, that this is a very strong, take each other for granted a little bit. Maybe we shouldn't do it as much, but like, know that we will still be there for each other.
Do you guys have other siblings other than
just
each other?
Us.
It's just the two of you.
And that's also the taking for granted, not taking for granted argument is, you know, I think that's part of the beauty of family.
Mm-hmm.
You're only human, and it's nice to have people in your life that understand, and for you to understand with other people, hey man, I'm the one that you can take for granted sometimes because I know that it's just you being showing like that weak spot of being a human being, and we'll circle back around later and it'll be fine.
But I do think that's where you run into a lot of issues, especially in like a spouse relationship, mm-hmm. because you kind of, you're so much mm-hmm. with that person, mm-hmm. you just imagine them as an extension mm-hmm. of yourself,
yep.
and then all of a sudden a month goes by and then like there's a fucking fight over like a
tiny thing, but that's been bubbling
thing.
Over everything that's happened
about everything.
Well, yeah. Do you watch Transparent at all, either of you guys?
I've seen it. I don't
watched
watch
the first season.
Regularly.
First season. Okay, I'm not giving anything away, but there's a moment in the second season where
the dad becomes a woman. What?
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 No, he switches back to a man. No,
and he starts to work on the Larry Sanders.
That's
show.
Right. He becomes Hank. It's like an origin story of how Hank became. Now, don't you understand Hank so much better? Hank Kingsley. Hey now. No, the idea that there was a moment where, what's her face? Who's the craziest? I forget her. Gabby Hoffman.
Yeah,
her character. Literally at a family dinner, like, goes off on the family. Goes off. Like, it's like, kind of like a end of the world, fuck you, this is the end, goes off.
Yeah.
And just exits the house and just starts walking the neighborhood. That's her trajectory in this thing. And you think, in any other series, on any other play, this is why I love series that are on Amazon and whatnot.
Yeah.
That is the storyline for the rest of the season, is that this fracturing, this shattering, it was a moment big enough to be like, she's not going to talk to this family ever again. At the end of the episode, she comes back and she just stands there at that same night at the table after everything that's gone through, and they take her back in. Now, I know that's hopefully that's spoiler alert, but like that moment to me typified everything that you just described. You can have those things and those blowouts that seem like in TV world, this person's off for the next six episodes to never be rekindled, and you need a huge reunion to get them back together, but not explained. You didn't see her come to the epiphany outside walking around, seeing another family together, and she had a moment and thought about it.
She just comes back.
Because that's the way it happens.
That's the way it is.
That's the way it happens.
You know, it's
the
it's,
world is a chaotic the universe is has no reason.
I've gotten into fights with my closest friends and family members at different, not all at once, but at, you know, different times.
It's a battle royal.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I invite them all over exactly. and just air
let's
all
go.
My
grievances. Here we go. You. Let's
it's just a
on.
Reverse intervention. Yeah. You're just
I'm
taking on everybody.
With a handle of vodka.
Here's everybody's present this year. Dad, you're a fat fuck.
That's right.
Mom, I can't deal with your nagging.
Done.
That's what Festivus is.
Yeah. Exactly.
Where he goes around the table and airs the grievance with everybody.
Rips.
Anyway, but I've had these instances. And I have a handful of friends and family that are the only people in the world and in my life that I've ever been able to go back to after acting shamefully, like mm-hmm. just embarrassing myself mm-hmm. With emotion, and then go back and say I'm sorry and. It's no excuse, but I'm working on it, and that's a flaw of mine, and whatever. You know, that's real, like. That's real intimacy when you can say that to somebody. Like, this is a thing that I'm aware of, and I'm working on this.
By the way,
I'm sorry that I flipped out, Mom, when you put your fork into my rice.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I really, because my mom and I had a blowout once over that, because I hate it.
Yeah.
I think it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Don't put your fucking fork into my food.
Rice.
I don't like when people touch my food.
Yeah.
I don't like, it grosses me mm-hmm. out, man. Mm-hmm. And I've told her a million times, like, please don't do that. And then I ordered food and she said she didn't want anything. And then I was eating mine after she said she didn't want anything. Mm-hmm. And she put her fork into mine.
That was enough.
And it was like World War III. But to be able to go back later and say, I know I overreacted, and I'm working on that. I'm really sorry.
It's a great quality to have. And let me say this to you, who are about to have kids. When your kids are old enough, you will blow up at them about stupid shit. And it's not about being right. It's when you go back to your kids and say, you know what? I screwed up there. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're not weak. You're actually showing them how to be strong. How to apologize. How to apologize for their own shit down the road.
Yeah. I remember the only time I think my mom ever hit me I just knocked some juice over. I was, I think, 8 or 9.
I knocked juice over.
I was 33. It was just, but I knocked some juice over and then she just lost it and clocked me one. And then it turns out, like later I was remembering, I was like, remember you hit me?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, do you know why I hit you? And I was like, no. She's like, you broke me. You knocked over that same glass of juice every day for 3 years.
You remember it once.
I remember as I knocked over some juice. I got hit.
Right.
That's so funny.
And just, but I'm such a spaz. I'd been spazzing out trying to grab juice.
As a parent, I understand how terrible that. Can I tell the story about the way comics talk to each other and this moment, because I got off it before, but I want to get off. So we first moved out to Los Angeles 18 years ago. We're living on Harper between first and third. If you know where that is. Toast, that place right there. Lived in a great, like, triple, you know, it was a duplex, but
what's
upstairs.
Is that downtown?
No, it's like West Hollywood, like by the Beverly Center. Essentially, Beverly Wood, if you will.
Yeah.
So nice area. I mean, we came from New York where we had a great apartment in Chelsea, but you come out here and it's like there's a backyard.
Especially 18 years ago, it was like you could afford 5 apartments for the price you're paying 1 apartment in New York.
When you move here from New York, it's like somebody suddenly goes, hey, guess what?
Yeah. You're not a human.
You're not trash.
You're not, exactly.
You don't have to live in a trash
can. It's like the first time you let your dog come out of the cage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To walk around. Yeah, no, you can go upstairs.
Go upstairs.
What? There's an upstairs.
There's an upstairs.
It's like a series of unfortunate events. Like you get out of Count Olaf's. I don't know if this is too deep of a cut. I'm watching the show. And you get to the snake doctor's house. And if you watch the show, that's a great analogy.
It's a great show.
Beautiful.
Great reference.
Is it a good show?
Yeah, it's a great show.
Okay, great.
So we're there, and we decide to have our first, and we're there with our buddy Eric Friedman, who's a writer out here now, lives in like Eagle Rock with his two very, very small babies and his wife. And what if you just live with 2 small babies as his roommates?
Not even
his babies.
And they never age.
Yeah.
It's just like, I got the wrong roommates, guys.
Sorry, guys.
These babies never age.
They never clean up after themselves.
They're so immature.
So he's there, but... He lived with us in New York and moved with us out here. So the three of us living in this big place. And we're like, we got to fucking throw a party. We got to throw a party and have fun.
Yeah.
So we go around to all of our neighbors and we talk to our neighbors.
Because we don't want our neighbors to cut this party down.
Right.
So we're like, we're going to talk to them ahead of time. We're going to get
invite
out in front
them.
Of this.
Invite them. Come to the party if there's an issue with any of the noise.
Yeah, you got
to
go and be like, there's going to be sucking and fucking.
All of it.
Tell
if
them.
If there's going to be any noise, if it's too loud, just let us know and we'll totally turn it down and whatever. Just trying to cut any problems off their issues. So we go, there's a woman across the street from us, okay, who was probably how old we are now.
Yeah, she's probably about 45.
At the time. Worked out all the time. So great body, rough helmet, I'm just going to say. Like, not the most beautiful face.
Like a butterface?
Yeah, not even a butterface. She was fine.
She was fine.
Great body. She would, and how do we know? Because
amazing body for like, a 45.
And that's a kind of that you got to get a couple of those around the party for when 2 o'clock hits, the herd
so
starts spinning.
So she,
I'm totally kidding.
Well,
by the way, how do I know
she has a great body? Because she's constantly wearing like
short shorts.
Short shorts and a bikini top too. Wash her car. She had like a at the time.
She's doing a bikini car wash just as a normal
car
wash.
She would have a boombox and play "Oh Yeah" by Yellow.
Exactly.
Basically,
she would just basically water her car. So I mean, like she had an old Saab. She had like a 93 Saab or something. This is like 97, 98. It was almost as if she was watering the Saab with hopes that it would grow into a different car.
That's right.
And
watering it daily.
You know we'd suffer through a drought even though it's raining now. If you point to the origins of the drought, is this woman watering her car.
Right. Susan?
Yeah. So she was outside washing the car per usual. We said, hey, listen, we're having a party. Here's our number in case it's too loud, but come on by. We would love to have you by. Come on by. It's happening this, that, whatever. It was happening when that night. So we had told all of our comedy friends, all of them, like, come on out, gonna be fun. All the people we knew, and we knew a lot of the people in the scene. It was great.
Yeah.
And our friend Lisa Delarios, who I'm sure knows, awesome. She's like, we told her about it, and we were like, please, they called, left a message, and said, please come. So this is how long ago it was. We're in the house making mixed tapes. Recording CDs onto tapes so that we could have music to play throughout the whole party.
Yes, put on a tape. It. You got an hour
mixed
of 45 music, minutes of music.
Yeah.
Auto reverse. You don't have to touch it.
Yeah, 90 minutes. Boom.
You don't got to do nothing.
Rip off the knob, shove it up your ass, and leave it on there. So we're making tapes. It's loud in the house. Phone rings. I answer it. Jay answers the phone. Hello, it's Susan from across the street. I pick up the phone. She starts talking to me, and I'm like, because it's loud. I'm like, hello? And she's like, hi, I'm thinking about coming. She said to me, it's Susan first, but I know that Randy doesn't know who it is. And she starts talking for a little bit, and Randy's like, oh, sweet, you're going to come by. Thought it was Lisa Delarios. So I'm like, sweet, you're coming by. And you know, Lisa's great. You can gag around with her in a way that you can gag around. She's classic gaggery, okay? Yeah. So I'm like, great, do you have directions to our house? That's when as Randy says, do you have directions to our house?
I'm getting nervous.
I'm like, he has no idea who he's talking to right now.
So,
and I know that I'm like, don't tell him. Just let him say something
fucking
horrible.
Left me on the hook.
Uh-huh.
So you purposely...
Yes!
Oh, I didn't say!
I was like, I didn't even comment on directions to our house. I just let it sit. She's like, yeah, I know where it is.
I pretty much know where it is. I was like, okay, great.
She's like, hey, listen, I'm thinking about bringing a friend or two. Is that okay? And I said, sure, the more pussy, the better. To an uptight woman who waters her car every day.
45-year-old uptight woman who waters her car every day.
I literally just said, the more pussy, the better. And I'm like, okay, Susan, hopefully we'll see you tonight. I hang up the phone. I'm like, cops are going to be here at 8, you fucking asshole. And he's like, why didn't you tell anything?
Why'd you tell me?
Because not only did you pulverize your party, you hung him out to dry at the party.
It was such a great, he fucked me over so hard.
I didn't know he was going to say that.
So, of course, Susan does not come to the party.
She doesn't.
So the next morning, we wake up just literally picking ourselves up off the ground.
She didn't call the cops either.
That's her credit.
So we pick ourselves up. You know, we're in terrible shape, going to just get some food inside of us. Okay, place a mess. We come downstairs. There's Susan washing her car,
watering the car.
Of course, watering the car. And I go over to her, tried to apologize, but. Only made it.
He made it. Everything he said made it worse.
Everything I was saying, I could feel myself as I'm saying it, everything making it worse. I was like, Susan,
I'm so sorry about what I said to you on the phone yesterday. I thought you were a friend of mine. You are not
that
friend.
I was like,
you're not that friend. You are not a friend of ours. It's like, you know, that's the way we talk about, you know, to people that we know really well and are really comfortable.
When we're comfortable, we say what we really feel
and mean.
I'm like, Jesus, man, you got to stop. Like, everything you're saying now is
everything
horrible.
Dug the worst hole ever.
You're
and like,
I respect pussy. I love pussy.
I meant it. The more, the better, in a celebratory way.
I think pussy is great. I mean, don't get me wrong. Pussy is great.
Yours is great. Your friends is great.
I'm sure they're just wonderful. It's a whole lot of great pussy. It just
it was so awkward and horrible.
Why you can't talk to regular people the way we all talk to each other.
So now, before we get in too deep, I do want to do one of our classic segments, which is called Air It Out.
We don't have much time left anyway, so we should do this.
So Air It Out is if there's anything that has happened between the two of you, that one of you, it's your chance to say, like, hey, you did that thing the other day, it pissed me off, or it doesn't even have to be a thing that made you mad or upset or sad. It can also be like, hey, when you did that, I thought that was really cool.
Jesus.
This is a moment for you to...
This is hard
outside,
to think about it because things...
I mean, I will say this to him, and this is probably what he would say back to me that he'd be mad about that I'm actually thanking him for, is that I know that my life, for a million reasons, is more chaotic right now and harder to manage my personal life, and I know that that has forced more work onto Randy's plate, and I feel really bad about that. And I know, and I also feel like there's nothing I can do about it in some cases. And so I apologize for the fact that knowingly I've just put more work on you and put more pressure on you.
I mean, that is the benefit and there is the benefit and the negatives of being a part of a group, you know, because you get presented and then no one really cares how it got done, just that it gets done.
Sure.
But you want to forgive your brother?
Yeah, I forgive him because there'll probably be a time when I'll need him to do that. And it's always great to have capital in a relationship, you know, where I can have something over his head. Yeah. No, I mean, yes, I kind of do believe that, really. But I mean, there are moments when I'm like working my ass off and trying to do stuff for my kids and trying to do stuff for my wife, knowing that he's just in a world of shit. And I'm like, I get resentful for sure. Definitely. Like, this is just too much to put on my shoulders. This is just too much. Cause I tend to get more stressed out by things than him. He's actually can handle things
better. So you're more laid back?
I mean, I think he can handle things even better. He's less emotional.
I've always gotten that impression from you guys that if you were like a buddy cop team, Jay's a little more the loose cannon and you're a little more the by the book guy. But that's and it's not a bad or a good thing. It's just it's just you guys always struck me. I remember once we were judging Roast Battle. Randy and I were judging Roast Battle together. This is all based on this one moment.
Let's hear it.
I had we was at the Riot Fest and I had brought a flask of whiskey
with
me.
No, it was me.
Jay. That was Jay.
Randy wasn't there.
I wasn't there.
That was you?
That was me. Randy wasn't there. It was me, you, and Moshe. Me, you, and Moshe, right?
It was you and me and Moshe?
Yes,
I thought it was you and
me. No, it
was
me.
Well, this is the whole thing. Well, then I was wrong.
Then it's flipped.
But because what I based it on was...
So you're the wild can.
I had a flask of whiskey. And I said to you,
do you want some?
I said, do you want some? And you went, no. And I went, take it, pussy. And you made this face like... What is wrong
with
you?
What did he just do? Am I getting hazed?
No. And I was like, oh, shit. I think like maybe I crossed like a weird line.
You didn't. But I think maybe I was assuming Randy's qualities that night because that was one of the rare examples in recent times where we were both supposed to be there. He couldn't make it. And I was like, I'll pick up the slack. I got this one. I'll be there.
Okay.
So I think I assumed that role in that moment.
I also have gotten to an age where I'm like, yeah, I don't need the whiskey. I don't need it. And I've also made a bunch of fucking mistakes where someone's like, here, you want this piece of weed candy at 11 o'clock at night? And I was like, in Chicago after the Road to the Roast Battle. And I'm like, sure, I'll take it. Suck on it. Get back to my hotel. Try the key in the door. And I'm like, key doesn't work. I go down. I'm flying. Go down to the guy at the front desk and I'm like, the key doesn't work. I'm so sorry. And his face is morphing. And then he's like, try this. And I go upstairs with the other key. 15 minutes taking it out, pulling it in, taking it out, pulling it in. It does not work. I swear to God, it doesn't work. I come back down and I'm like, you are going to totally you got to stay in one spot, dude. You are going to totally be mad at me, but this key doesn't, the one that you made, the second one that you made doesn't work too. And he's like, okay, I will go up with you and show you that this key works. And I was like, it's not going to work. He's like, I will go up with you and show you that it's not going to work. Oh, are we going to take the stairs? No, we're going to take the elevator and I will show you that this key is going to work. It's not going to work. It's your funeral. We go upstairs. One time in, one time out, he opens the door for me. And I was like, oh shit. That's how high I was. I woke up in the morning, still high. In the morning, after I that slept, sucks. I'm still high.
That's the worst. You probably were putting the key in the wrong person's door.
I have no idea.
No, he was just
the wrong room.
He was just sliding it under the door. He's just on his knees.
Into the door.
Yeah, it's a maid. The maid comes out. Yeah. And he was, some guy was putting his card in my cleavage last night for 15 minutes.
Why is this not opening? Open up.
Do you have an air it out really quick, Randy? Or
I mean, he kind of said it. You know, that is...
That's what you would have aired out.
Yeah, could, no, we've never had a one in the same before. That would be pretty cool.
It's a little bit of one in the same. You know, I mean, my air it out would be my hope that, you know, I mean, this is a crazy and tumultuous time as we in the world. I feel like in our careers, we're pitching a lot of things and a lot of things were out there that potentially could go or this could happen and this could happen. Maybe not. You got to sort of that crumbles back down. You got to build it back up again, you know, and I know that it's just he's got little kids and he's just involved in a lot of stuff. I would just say my air it out would be I want him to retain the happiest parts of his life and hold on to those and not be so caught up in the bullshit.
Okay. All right. So there you go.
Taken.
You guys just 1, 2, 3 aired it out.
He said had it out.
Guys, plug. This is going to probably come out before your next project does. So plug what you were telling me about yesterday.
If this comes out before February 11th, I will say this, that we are shooting our next 1-hour stand-up special in Chicago.
For CISO.
For CISO.
That will be out soon. Probably.
So if you are in Chicago, please come and see it. There's two shows and the tickets are going fast.
Okay, great.
At Lincoln Hall, February 11th, 7 and 9 p.m. And then we have this podcast that's here on Feral Audio that we are so happy about called Dumb People Town. Used to be Scarborough County. You guys have both.
Yes.
You've done it, but I think you've did Scarborough Country.
I've only done Country.
We got to get you guys back on individually on our on the county one, which is now called Dumb People Town. And it's just an exploration into dumb people doing dumb things.
Great.
And it is just breaking it down, trying to understand the behavior of really idiotic people.
And we what's the special? Called, so in case this doesn't come out, they can find it later.
The special is called Hipster Ghosts.
Okay, so look for that. Look for look for my special, You Let Me Down, which is out now. Kurt's special.
Look for my special, Trust Me, March 3rd on Comedy Central.
And we'll see you all later. Thanks, guys.